So if I told you that you could learn to be more productive, that you could show up for yourself and have the expectation that things would get finished, what would you be willing to go through in order to get that in the end?
Hey yo, busy brain.
Welcome to my podcast. I am Camden Hainsworth, ADHD advocate, coach, and member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Understanding my own ADHD diagnosis completely changed the course of my life for the better. Now it is my mission and joy to provide you with the tools to do the same. Join me weekly. Let's create real results that work with your neurodivergence and reflect a confident life of self-acceptance, growth, and satisfaction. Welcome to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. Let's get growing. Hello, you made it. I am so happy that you are here. My brain is busy and my heart is full. Today's podcast is titled, How to Get Things Done. This is like the subject of all subjects, is it not, with an ADHD brain? There's a reason why it is difficult for us to get things done. Take any symptom from the DSM-5, and you could probably tie it to productivity. You could tie time blindness to productivity. You could tie interruption into productivity. You could tie transition difficulty into productivity. Almost every single symptom of ADHD makes it really difficult for us to essentially get things finished. That's why we're going to be talking about this today. A lot of what I'm going to share with you today came from my mentor. She has a program called Focused, and she taught a course called How to Be Productive. And when I took this course months ago, I can't remember what it is now, I learned a lot about myself, and I loved how she broke it down into consumable pieces that didn't seem overwhelming or very neurotypical, and in the equation of, well, if you do this, then you're going to get this. Because we know that ADHD is a lot of moving parts. So one of the very first things that we can think about is decision making. We have to decide for ourselves if the thing that we want to change in our life, if we are willing to put in the work, if we are willing to go through the discomfort, if we are willing to go through the pain. So if I told you that you could learn to be more productive, that you could show up for yourself and have the expectation that things would get finished, what would you be willing to go through in order to get that in the end? I guarantee that what I'm going to talk to you about today is not something that's going to just happen overnight. That it's going to be something that is going to take years of work and might honestly be like a lifelong journey. Because what I have learned is when we resolve certain issues, we level up and we start to see from a more matured plane level. And then we look up more and we say, oh, now I want to improve myself in that area. And so then we start out as a beginner all over again. I guess I share that with you because this is not something that's so plain and simple where I'm going to give you like these three tips to improving your productivity. I could do that. But if we don't account for everything that the ADHD brain is having to go through, then you will end up, in my mind, you might end up feeling unsuccessful, not good enough, like a failure again. So I want to make sure that it's very, very clear that what I'm going to be talking to you about today is not something that is all of a sudden going to change automatically in all aspects of your life in one podcast. That wouldn't be fair as a coach. That wouldn't be fair to you as somebody who's trying to understand their self-worth and who they are better. My hope is that you can start to feel at least strengthened and supported so that while productivity issues come up or while you're struggling to get things done, the phrase is, this makes sense. And I think I know what I need to do in order to help myself get through this. Okay, so the very first thing is this idea that I'm not here to give you a Tylenol or an ibuprofen or something for your pain that's just going to wear off in a couple months. At times, however, having that medication to numb out the pain so that you can get things done, so that you eventually can get surgery, if you will, or you eventually can get to the root of the problem, is essential. I see that both have their place in our life. But what I'm going to talk to you about right now is more of the surgery. It's more of getting down to the root of the issue, is more of like healing your gut health in order to help your overall well-being so you can absorb better nutrients. Okay. Are you with me? This isn't the Band-Aid approach. And this isn't going to be necessarily anything super, super new, but it is going to be something that is helpful. So as before, I've talked to you on this podcast is that I do causal coaching, which is this idea of getting down to the root cause. And a lot of the problems that you're actually encountering really have very little to do with the behaviors that you're doing and needing to change your behaviors. They have everything to do with how you think about your life. So you have behaviors that cause you to not be productive. This might look like scrolling on social media. It might be overscheduling yourself. It could be sleeping longer than you need. It could be not sleeping and just ruminating and bouncing around your house doing a lot of nothing. It could be over-researching. It might be asking for other people's opinions before making a decision on your own. There's so many things that keep us from being productive. And those are all behaviors. Those are all actions that are symptoms of the actual problem. So let's work backward. Let's say that you find that during the day, you are bouncing around between tasks. And at the end of the day, you, like me, might have a time where you say, what did I even do today? What on earth did I do today? And yet 9-10 hours have passed you by and you don't feel like you have anything to show for it. Sometimes that's self-awareness and us needing to go backward and actually say, oh, I did do quite a few things today. Like I need to give myself a break. Other times, the thought behind why we're bouncing around is the more important idea. So yesterday, I actually cleaned out my medicine cabinet. And the reason why I did that is my mom's coming into town. And so I wanted to make sure that everything is at her fingertips as she's taking care of my kids while my husband and I are on an out of country vacation. And I have been putting that off for quite a while, but because I got coached, I recognized, wait a second, I'm in indecision about this because I haven't committed to it, number one, and I haven't broken down what is the thought that's keeping me from doing it. And you know what the thought was? The thought was, I can't do this while my baby is in my house. So I can't do this while she's awake. I can't do this while she's asleep. I can't do this while I have her as my responsibility. Yet I can do 1,000 other things. Why I was thinking that, I don't know. But when I found out that that was my actual thought, I could say, oh my goodness, that's ridiculous. I can make a plan for this. I can prepare myself for this. And so I want to tell you a little bit more of what happened. So when I said, when I recognized that the thought was, I can't do this while my baby's in the house, the only other time that, or like my husband isn't home, right? The only other time that would give me is evenings when oftentimes I'm working with clients, or evenings when I want to be with my family, or evenings when I'm so exhausted, the last thing I want to do is clean out a medicine cabinet, or evenings when the house is a little bit chaotic because everyone's tired and I don't want to add to the mess and the chaos of what's going on. Okay. So the resolution for the thought of I can only do this when my baby's not in the house, or can be watched by someone else, the resolution of those also were not something that I was willing to sacrifice. Now, I do have a babysitter often on Wednesdays and Thursdays when I take clientele. But you know what I want to work on when I have a babysitter? I want to work on improving my business. I want to work on my clients, and that's why I'm getting the babysitter. So the last thing, once again, that I want to do is to pay for a babysitter so I can simply clean out my medicine cabinet. For right now, that seems ridiculous. Maybe another time in my life, it will not.
And maybe for you, it will not. Maybe that's exactly what I need to do, is I need to hire out help for $10 an hour so that I can get these tasks done. But for right now, none of the solutions that I had to combat my thought of, I can't do this while my baby is in the house, none of those were ever going to work out for me. So once I recognized that that was my thought, all of a sudden I had the power. I became like the magician. I became the queen of my own house here, because now I could make rules, and now I could shift thoughts, and now I could shift beliefs in order to get accomplished, the task accomplished, without having to believe this false thought that really wasn't helping me be productive. The symptoms of not doing the medicine cabinet, of watching silly shows or scrolling or doing who knows what, just kind of like poking around, working on my business or just scrolling social media in the name of seeing who liked what and maybe answering comments, like all of that was buffering from the thing I actually wanted to be getting done. And so then every day after that, I'm like, oh, I still haven't done the medicine cabinet. I still haven't done it. I need to do that. And that was overly exhausting on top of all these tasks that were not important for my well-being. So we have the aspirin idea, like the ibuprofen idea, or we have the root cause idea. The ibuprofen idea, approaching this medicine cabinet, might look like the following. Hey, ADHDer, if you are enjoying this episode, please be sure to press the plus button on Apple Podcasts or follow this podcast on whatever other platform you're using. Your reviews are so appreciated. It helps more people get to hear this podcast and therefore impact these incredible ADHD lives in a positive way. Thanks for being here. Back to the show. And may I add, this is not something bad, but it might say, okay, what I need to do is tell my husband, sweetheart, can you please watch the baby? I just need 45 minutes. I'd like to go through this medicine cabinet and get it complete. I know that it's chaos at the end of the day, but I just want to communicate that to you. Okay? It's great. It's a good idea. I outsource it to him and I get it done. But you know what's going to keep happening? What about when I need to clean underneath the bathroom sink? Or what if I need to go visit a friend who's in need? Or what if I feel like I'd like to help my children with their multiplication tables? And if the thought was still continuing, I cannot be productive in these areas because the baby is here, then I am going to be unable to do the bathroom sink. I'm going to be unable to visit the friend. I'm going to be unable to do the multiplication tables with my kids. It's going to continue to pop up. Now, with my awareness of that thought being present, now I can go back and I can say, oh my goodness, I'm putting the excuse, I'm putting the explanation, I'm putting the thought back on my baby again. I know how to get through this. So needless to say, there were a lot of thoughts that connected to the idea of why it would be hard to clean out the medicine cabinet with my baby awake. One of them being transitions. What about if I start when she's asleep and then she wakes up? Like, what about then? And I had to prepare myself, like, it's okay if the mess is still out. That's okay. It's okay when you're separating the medication and it's not safe for her to be around, for her to cry in her room if she's just whining. Like, I'm not saying she was crying like she was being neglected, but you know, babies whine sometimes. And I could push through the whining to get the medication separated and put into safe containers so that she was kept safe. And that would be uncomfortable, but I knew how to get things safe really, really quickly. And it would be okay if she whined for 30 seconds. I anticipated my kids coming home. That was one of the things, like, what if I have the baby and then my kids come home and I'm in the middle of this mess of cleaning this out? Like, what if all those things happen? And I was able to come up with some solutions or normalize how I would be feeling then and say, well, I can do stress. I can do a little extra anxiety. I can do communication amidst all this, because more important is that this project, this thing gets done. All right, that's the root cause. is helping things to stop popping up over and over again. I can't visit a friend because of this. Oh, wait, no, that thought was resolved. I can visit a friend. Now I just need to set myself up for success and recognize what needs to change in order for me to feel more comfortable or for me to feel more prepared when I'm visiting this friend with my baby. Okay, this true healing, like this uncovering of this stuff, it can take a long time. So while this one task has taught me a great deal, I will still have to revisit this in a multitude of different tasks, but it's going to become more accessible to me. It's going to become easier to me. It's going to become more familiar to me because I've been through the process. So once we do recognize what that thought is, well, then what do we do with that thought? I kind of walked you through some of those ideas. Before I had talked about cleaning out the medicine cabinet, I have multiple places in this house that I'd like to organize before my mom comes. Our stairs are really slippery for some reason, and so I want to put tape down on them. I don't need my mom falling while we're not here. There's just a variety of tasks I needed to do. And because I felt like there were so many of them, I was not getting into action on any of them. And so even though it feels opposite for us to say, hey, we'll get to those later, I'm just going to work on one thing because we want to keep everything top of mind. Even though it feels opposite of it, write your list down and then choose one thing. That is one of my first steps that I learned in this course, was just to choose one thing. And that doesn't mean that we don't accomplish all of them eventually, but for the time being, let your mind have the relaxation of just being in one place at one time. For Pete's sake, it's done running carpool and not getting anywhere. Let it enjoy the soccer game that it's driven to, whatever it might be. Okay. Constraint to one goal. That was the medicine cabinet for me. Then you're going to make a plan. Okay. For me, it was simply take everything out of the boxes and then put them into categories, throw away the stuff that's expired, and then put things back. That was the plan. The schedule, when am I going to do this? As we've talked about before, I can do this anytime. Anytime I have a free period of time, for me, I set like within this week, not on Wednesday or Thursday when I work, probably Monday or Tuesday, I'm going to tackle this medicine cabinet. You can put it on your schedule if it's helpful, on your calendar with an alarm. The next thing is to take action. Sometimes this requires massive action. Sometimes this requires like jumping jacks and hoorahs and whoop whoops, getting into action to get our body moving. Then the last thing, which is really, really important, and actually goes a lot with working memory that we talked about last week, is to evaluate how it went. When we are reflective and when we evaluate how the plan went, it helps our working memory be able to bring up that learning process for later on. What did we like that happened? What did we notice that we are uncomfortable with, but we were able to overcome anyway? How can that teach our future self that even in discomfort, we can still be productive? Like, all of this happens at the end when we evaluate. So I learned a great deal. When I cleaned out the medicine cabinet just yesterday, I learned that when I don't attend to every single little whine and peep of my baby, you think that I would have learned this by the fourth child, but she's the baby. So I think that's why I've forgotten that she actually, unless she's tired or hungry, she will go and find something fun to do. I just need to give her 2 or 3 minutes to get her whines out, to see that, you know, I'm not the only one that can entertain her. And then she goes and she finds her way. I don't think all of my kids were that way, but this particular child is really good at that. So that's one thing that I learned. Another thing I learned is having the baby on the counter when I have medication sprawled out all over the place is not a good idea. And so that very quickly stopped, that my job is to keep my baby safe. And like I mentioned before, having her cry for a little bit was all that I needed to tolerate in my body. Like, that's it. If I just have to tolerate her discomfort through whining, vocally expressing, knowing that she's fine, in order to make things safe up on the counter for 30 seconds, then I'm willing to do it. What else did I learn? I learned that I can do many things while there's still a mess on the counter. Mind you, all of the tops, it was not an unsafe thing, which I think maybe subconsciously I was thinking about, like, all the medication's going to be out. What if, like, the baby gets a hold of medication or one of the pills drops, or, you know, all that type of stuff. And while those are, you know, there's a reason behind that, I can also be an adult and I can make this a safe way of organizing this medicine cabinet. Do you overthink the way that I'm overthinking? I have a good feeling that you do. Maybe it's not with your medicine cabinet, but we do this for ourselves and it causes us to not be productive. It causes us to not take action. It causes us to not get things done. And it all starts with the millions of thoughts that are in our head. The loudest one for me is, I can't do this while my baby is in the house. And once I found that out, I also saw other areas of my life that were also impacted by this thought. And once I recognized this isn't a thought I wanted to live my life by, I was able to shift it into, I can do things when my baby is in the house. I can be flexible with my schedule. I can work through uncomfortable transitions. I can have a safe environment for my kids and also be organizing medications. Okay, those are true statements. I am a 39-year-old grown woman. I can figure this one out. Constrain to one goal. Plan what you're going to do for that goal. Schedule it. Put an alarm. Take action and then evaluate. If me saying these five things has, like, caused you to sweat, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to forget these five things, please don't. The number one thing you just need to do is find out what that thought is that's keeping you from getting into action and then resolve it. And pretty interestingly enough, with ADHD, once we've heard enough of these podcasts and we've received enough of suggestions and advice that we need to externalize what we're doing, we need to break them into smaller portions and put things on schedules and then evaluate what we learned. Like, pretty soon, that is going to be a part of your resolution. You found the thought you don't like, you've chosen, you want to disregard it, you don't want to live off of that belief, you found a new thought, and then automatically your brain's like, whoa, here are all the solutions, here are all the things that are going to help you, here are all the things that were holding you back because of that one thought. It's going to come. So lean into it, trust yourself that by not just putting the Band-Aid, not just taking the ibuprofen, the painkiller, that you are actually going to develop space in your brain in order to be successful and to get things done. I sure love you, and I'm always, always cheering you on. Thanks for listening to the Busy Brain Saint podcast. So glad that you're here. If you are interested in more information about ADHD coaching, head over to Instagram and follow me at Camden_ADHD. My company is called ADHD Directory. Or if you're also interested in following along with more Latter-day Saint ADHD material, you can follow me at The Busy Brain Saint on Instagram. Thanks so much for being here, and I hope I get to meet you soon. Take care.